Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
How well do you really know the Strip? Today on CityCast Las Vegas, I'm with two of Vegas's most insider insiders, co-host David Figler and newsletter editor Rob Catchell-Reese. We're divulging the most secret secrets of the Strip, the hidden histories, and tucked away eateries that'll impress your friends. It's Wednesday, April 24th. I'm Sarah Lohman, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. And David, so first question, in one sentence, how would you describe your relationship with the Strip?
Too big to fail.
Too big to fail.
Too big to fail. No matter how much we complain about this place called the Strip, no matter what's going on, no matter what goes away that we wish stayed, we're always going to return. There's always going to be new stuff and it's always going to be fun, even if we act like it's not.
What about you, Figler?
I always just call it Strip City. I think it's its own city within our structure of municipalities. And here's the thing. I used to live in the heart of Strip City.
You did.
I lived right behind the Riviera Hotel on the other side of the Landmark Hotel.
Inside Circus Circus.
Yeah, I have a long-standing relationship with Strip City. So that's where I'm coming from.
For me, the Strip is the Times Square of Las Vegas. You end up there. There's certain reasons you have to be there. There's some amazing cultural things, but you're not there every single day. However, we all know some like really cool secret spots and hacks for the Strip. So let's start with your number one best ever secret. What is the spot that you're taking your friends to that's going to blow their minds? Figler, do you have one for me?
Yeah. And this is going to be a little counterintuitive as a gentleman of Jewish descent, but I will take all my friends, if they're willing, to go to the Guardian Angel Cathedral.
What is that?
The Guardian Angel Cathedral is a Catholic cathedral that's been in Las Vegas since the 1960s. It is right on the Strip.
Really?
It is just north of the Encore Hotel. It's set back a little bit, so a lot of people will miss it. It was created by the famed Los Angeles architect, Paul Revere Williams. It is gorgeous. It's an A-frame. It is a great example of the era. But I bring people there not for praying, although that is something that a lot of people come to Las Vegas feel that they need to do.
It's for the gamblers to do their praying, yep.
As well as, you know, confession after. It is not only the seat of the Archdiocese of Las Vegas, it has the most stunning mosaic tile work and stained glass work maybe in the entire state.
Wow.
It's quite remarkable. It was the product of these Hungarian sisters who created like this like very modernistic, almost pop culture depictions of traditional Catholic iconography. But there's also like special panels in there that depict some of the casinos of the day.
Really?
In the stained glass itself. I mean, I can't even begin to describe. You know, you could look online and see pictures of the mosaics and the tile and the murals and the stained glass. Seeing it up close and personal is just, I dare say, a religious type experience. This is one not to miss, a good secret of the Strip.
When I'm on the Strip, I always want like a quiet moment. And I'm sure that's exactly what stepping into the space can provide in an otherwise really hectic area.
I was about to say the same thing, because you really start to appreciate silence when you can find it on the Strip. Because no matter where you are, you could be outside casinos walking from one to the other. And there's always like music in the background. There's always like some 80s tunes. There's pop hits. I mean, it's like the Strip doesn't trust you to be alone with your thoughts.
Right.
So if you have to go to a cathedral to find a little peace and quiet, I'm all for it.
All right, Rob, do you have a mind-blowing secret?
You know what? My top piece of advice for visiting the Strip, and it's kind of like a low lift, high reward, is always park on the top floor of the parking garage. Because number one, you'll always remember where you parked. And number two, you get some amazing views that come at no extra charge. You know, some of these gorgeous
views. I love this.
Of the Strip. And it costs just the same to park on the top floor as it does on the second floor. So stop trying to find the first available space. Go straight to the top. And if you have friends in town and you're driving them to the Strip, that's the most immediate impact as far as impressing somebody.
Do you have a favorite parking garage?
It's almost more easier to identify your least favorite parking garage. But you did ask me about my favorites. I'm going with the Mirage, Caesar's Palace, and Bellagio for views.
For views. Okay, that's helpful.
Yeah.
Okay, so my secret, I bet, is a secret that you two don't even know about. I would bet money. It's the Bellagio Fountain. That's the Bellagio
Fountain. I've heard
of it,
though. I know
it. Not that one.
Oh.
There is a small fountain right by reception, kind of like when you're going to walk into the conservatory. Just a little guy, okay? It's kind of unassuming. People throw coins into the basin. It's five towers. Tallest towers in the middle has a little like baby cherub on it. So this fountain by the check-in desk was made in 1862 for the International Exhibition in London. That's the first World's Fair. And it was in place at Kew Gardens for, I'm not sure exactly how long, the story gets a little foggy, but the fountain was made by the Pullum family, and they were really famous British landscape architects. And they were popular in this time when, like, if you had a lot of land, you wanted like a grotto and an Hermitage and a waterfall. And they developed this proprietary concrete to sculpt all of this fake rock that looked really realistic. So they were hugely famous in the 19th century in Britain. They built this fountain for the very famous International Exhibition. And then somehow in 1999, Steve Wynn buys it. And it's a little unclear how it went from 1862 International Exhibition. But basically, yeah, Wynn finds it, who knows, probably at an antiques mall, buys it, installs it at the Bellagio. And then Thomas & Cudworth, which is like a craftsman workshop from England, installed it. And then in 2013, I think, also came and did a restoration of it as well. So Steve Wynn bought this random fountain that ended up, it was like one of the most famous fountains of the 19th century from this really famous family that created fake rock. It's so unassuming that I love dropping this story on anyone who will listen, to be honest with you. So what about food and drink secrets on the Strip? Do you have any good tips? How about you, Rob?
Are we talking food or booze?
I'm down for either, food or drink.
All right. One of the things I like to do is go to a bar, have a good drink, and then keep drinking when I leave the bar. So that's why I'm a big fan of Super Fricco over at the Cosmopolitan. They have the Ski Lodge, which I wouldn't quite call a speakeasy, but it's a little ski-themed cocktail lounge off to the side.
Yeah, it used to be. I tried to go in the secret door once and it was locked. And like the host was like, oh, you have to come through the main door. So they just have now it's just like a bar.
That's no fun.
It's no fun. Yes, correct.
But what I do like is that they give you booze to go in bottles. They call it the Bottle-O program. And it's kind of like a counter. And this is really great if you want to go back to your hotel room, if you're staying at the Cosmopolitan and want to take a little nightcap on the run.
Right. When you ask to it to go, they put it in a plastic cup. Yeah.
Yeah. It's called the Bottle-O program. And you can get your cocktails to go in bottles in 8 ounces or a liter, which supposedly serves about 8 people. But if it's my kind of drink, it serves about 3 people.
Okay. You know, I also really like, what's the other one? Ghost Donkey? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In the back of Ward.
The food court, basically.
The food
Block
court.
Block 16 Ward. Food court.
Block 16.
Food hall.
named after where prostitution and sex work was allowed in the early Vegas days. And it does feel very impressive to, like, just confidently walk to this, you know, unlabeled door and open it up into a poppin' bar. I really do love doing that to my friends.
Yeah, it looks like an emergency exit. It just has a picture of a donkey on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's in the back of the...
magical on the other side.
Mexico.
Hey, you know, the
magical.
Cosmopolitan probably has more secret spaces and speakeasies than some casinos have slot machines. I mean, it seems like they are the king property for that sort of thing.
They're the millennial hotel, and, like, the millennials love a speakeasy.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
there's
really
the barber shop, there's the pawn shop, there's
the
Secret
place.
Pizza, which is the original, like, unmarked, walk down this little, you know, hallway and find yourself into pizza heaven. A lot of that over at the Cosmopolitan. I also, there was a place at the Cosmopolitan that had the best lunch special in town.
Hmm.
That spot moved over to the Venetian, and it is called Estiatorio Milos. Which I pronounce my Greek as well as I know my Catholic terms. So I just call it Milos, but they have a great lunch special. It's prefix, it's multi-course. It costs $45. Now, back when, which doesn't maybe sound like a bargain, but for a high-end place like that, it probably is a bargain. But this has been like the secret lunch item for over a decade. So when they were back at the Cosmopolitan, back in 2013, that same special was $20.13. So
back in the day of the 49-cent breakfast.
Blah, 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 inflation, blah, 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 moving properties. But that's a great little one to jump in on. And speaking of the Venetian and parking structures, one of my favorite secrets, if you love restaurants in the strip casinos, but you don't like walking through the casino part of it, there is a dedicated elevator in the parking garage over at the Venetian on the third floor. You have to go back to a separate dedicated bank of elevators, and it will take you directly to Bouchon.
Mm.
Which is a fantastic restaurant. And if you just want to go grab a quick breakfast or brunch over at Bouchon, which is a lovely thing to do, they have newspapers there too and stuff like that. You just hit the special elevator, you get off, you walk about 10 feet, and you're right at Bouchon.
That was my first fancy meal in Las Vegas back in 2008, the first time I visited. So I'm glad to hear that it is still an amazing restaurant.
And that you don't have to walk through a casino to get to it.
No, with the plebes.
And the smoke.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Okay, so I've actually got a Caesar's hot tip. So if you are walking towards Hell's Kitchen, I don't know why you would be, but let's say your friends in town made a reservation there. You have to stop at another, like, quiet religious space on the Strip, and that is the Brahma Shrine.
Yeah.
So this is a Hindu and Buddhist shrine that is in front of Caesar's, north end of Roman Plaza, near Hell's Kitchen, and it was actually cast in Thailand. Okay, so it is a reproduction of a Thai shrine to the god Brahma. And Brahma is a god of creation, but also good fortune and protection. So you can see why it would end up in Strip City over there. And it was cast from the original 1950s statue in 1983. The original 1950s shrine was built in front of a hotel. The foundations were laid at this original hotel on a bad date, and it was believed to have accumulated bad karma and had a series of mishaps and cost overruns. So they built the shrine to Brahma to correct it, which it did. So while it does seem like a little confusing that then this shrine is installed in 1984, at Caesar's Palace, maybe it's a little bit of like gambler's blessing, but also it's a copy of another hotel shrine. So maybe it's a little like hotel blessing on Caesar's Palace. But it's very well taken care of. There is incense that you can light. It is often adorned with marigolds. And it is a site of worship for both Buddhist and Hindu people in the city. So it's an awesome place to stop by and counter negative influences.
I actually just walked by it. recently because we were on our way not to Hell's Kitchen, God forbid, although they have that cool sculpture out front, but we went to the secret Green Fairy Garden.
Oh, I don't that know that one.
Right by there. So that's right around the absinthe tent, and it's adorable, and it's got this beautiful tree and no pants burgers with tots, and it's really, really good. But there's a secret place within the secret garden, and you have to kind of know the little maneuvering to get to the Pier 17 Yacht Club, which is an absinthe show-inspired speakeasy, I guess, that has its own garden, inside the maze. It's really lovely. And they have great high-end batch cocktail there. They do an amazing old-fashioned. You could kind of sit out in this patio. There's also a secret door there to get into the absinthe show. So many secrets.
Ugh, I'm the desperate to see the
secrets within secrets within secrets.
I love how the secret door is through a phone booth, I believe.
Yes! Yeah, it's like going into a TARDIS.
So it's like a secret inside a secret inside a secret.
Yeah.
All right. Any last gems for like the truly jaded Vegas lifer? What's going to impress not just your friends, but your local friends?
Well, I'm an art person. And so there are so many interesting art installations that are just scattered throughout the strip. I mean, you could pick any of the high-end hotels and there's going to be some cool artwork that isn't necessarily promoted or directed. You just kind of have to know that it's there. Certainly the higher levels of the Cosmopolitan are filled with amazing art.
The Palms, and, too. Not as much amazing stuff as it once had,
which is also
still,
off-strip. Let's be technical.
It's, all right, that's fair. It's not downtown, though, so I'm going to like round it in. But there's often, I mean, there's an original Andy Warhol. There's a Damien Hirst. It's got some amazing stuff. All right, Rob, what you got?
Okay, I got a couple suggestions here for the jaded Vegas lifer. I know we complain about the strip, about the prices of entertainment, about shows, but I want to talk about 1923 Prohibition Bar, which is probably the least secret speakeasy in Vegas.
That's you walk Mandalay
right past
Bay.
It, it's right
oh.
there.
Yeah. Didn't that used to be a burlesque club or something?
Well, it was originally downstairs, and it was slightly more secret downstairs, but then they moved it upstairs. It's in the shops at Mandalay Place. You know, it's right there.
Behind a random bookcase.
But when you go inside, farther in the back, there's sort of a hidden lounge inside the not-so-hidden lounge where they have a show on weekends called Ghost Stories with Kent Axel. And this is like my kind of Vegas show because it's very intimate. It's limited to just 30 people. So it's almost like a little like a cocktail party. You got your drink. You're hanging out in this back parlor. And there's a little bit of magic. There's a little bit of spooky stories. There's a little bit of mind reading. He was able to tell that my dog had a UTI infection.
What?
Which was 100% true. He read my mind and could tell.
I would look at your Ring camera to see if someone's been snooping around and picking up your dog's poop.
Well, the way he did it is you write down a statement and a note and you put it in a box. And from what you can tell, nobody opens this box. And somehow he was still able to read what I wrote down on this. And that was enough to impress
me.
But also, it's one of those shows that's social. You know, it's great for like bachelorette parties. I just want to hang out and, you know, not sit in some giant theater. It's really cool. Something else I'd also suggest, especially in the age of super expensive spas at casinos on the Strip, is if you go to Fontainebleau, a place that's not known for discounts or deals, but their spa there is a little pricey, but they have a room next to it that not a lot of people know about. It's called the Reboot Lounge. And when you go inside it, it's just like this kind of like sea of like chairs where the staff will do like foot massages or your upper back or arm massages. And the weird part is that all the chairs are facing this giant wall. It's like a video screen. It's not quite the sphere, but it's very calming. And it's images of like, you know, like snow caps and calming environments. And just to kind of hop in there and get like a quick recharge or reboot, so to speak, and continue on with your day. It's a unique moment of zen in a very indulgent property.
All right, well, here's what I've got for you to end us. It is a fun fact. So you both probably remember that back in 2010, the post office released the first batch of Forever stamps. Okay. Yes. And so the original packet of Forever stamps had the Statue of Liberty and American flags on it. So they released them in December of 2010. Mm-hmm. And by March 2011, 3 billion stamps had been printed when a stamp collector discovered that the Statue of Liberty photograph on the stamps wasn't the Statue of Liberty in New York City.
Oh, no?
Oh, no. It was the Statue of Liberty outside the New York casino. And again, it's
imagine
sort of,
that.
It's like a photoshopped photo. It's not like a original painting or anything. And, you know, the first question is, well, how do you tell? It's actually once you see the real Statue of Liberty at the sculpture side by side, it's extremely obvious. The hair is different. In the replica, the eyes are much more sharply defined. For me, it's like you can see that her crown doesn't actually have, like, windows. It looks different than the original.
And the other dead giveaway is it's wearing a Running Rebels jersey.
Yeah, she's the Rebels. We decorate this one. There's like a weird patch in the replica. It's very obvious, but for some reason, United States Post Office didn't catch it when they chose that photo. When it was first called out, I mean, they couldn't take it out of circulation. They printed 3 billion. They just tried to roll with it. And they're like, well, we're just honoring two great American institutions and, you know, whatever. This one's just as good. The end of this story, which I didn't find out until I researched this, is that the artist, Robert Davidson, that sculpted the replica, successfully sued the Postal Service, who had to pay $3.5 million to Davidson for copyright infringement.
Nice. Good going, artist.
Right? Because basically he said, and the judge agreed, that his replica is different enough, and it is, that he designed it specifically for Las Vegas, that, you know, the post office is making money off of reprinting an image of his replica.
Damn.
And so he got a big payout. So it was an epic mistake and such a big mess, and I love telling that to people.
It could have been the Statue of Liberty in front of Osaka, and then they could have just given out free sushi for a couple of years with their lawsuit.
Well, I think they should still use the Vegas Statue of Liberty on the stamps. I mean, they paid for it. Use it.
I mean, they did. I think after the first 3 billion, though, they switched it up again. Oh, well, thanks, gents. I have learned some good ones today. I've got lots of visitors coming in the next couple months, so I'm going to take them and show them the secrets.
Yeah, see you in church.
Cheers.
Cheers. That's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. If you enjoyed the show, why not tell a friend? You can rate the show and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. And you've got to subscribe to our morning newsletter. That's Rob's baby. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Take care.
I was just going to add that there, of course, is a third fountain at the Bellagio, which is the world's largest chocolate fountain.
Ah, yes.
You can dip in it and it's just constantly exposed to the air.
I think it's more of a showpiece.
That
and I don't
sense.
Think people are Willy Wonking it.
Like swimming in it?
Yeah, I think that's probably,
I don't know how big it is.
Discouraged.
Sonia says you can't dip in it.
I think it filters out into Lake Mead.
It's big enough for one Augustus Gloop.
It goes out into the Wash and it goes into Lake Mead, and that's why we get water credits back.